What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning into the Local Crown Podcast, where we're going to teach you how to wage war on your competition and earn your local crown, also known as the top spot on Google. Today, I'm here with Christine Parakis. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for the people who haven't heard of you, Christine?
Is there anyone left like that? Yes. Hi, Trey. It's so great to be here. Thanks for inviting me to join you today. And I'm a business growth architect who takes businesses from zero to eight figures in record time. And I do that through the experiences I've had owning, starting, growing, and expanding 10 businesses on my own and with partners, and helping hundreds of clients do the same on five continents.
Wow, that's crazy impressive. So what's some of your backstory, Christine? Where'd you come from?
Well, I started out as a lawyer in the entertainment business, and I used that legal education and my MBA to help me build the tools so that I could do what I'm really passionate about, which is starting and growing businesses and helping others to do the same. So I did a couple of years in a big New York law firm and then started out in my entrepreneurial path. And that's how I got to where I'm at today.
Awesome. What was your first business venture?
My very first venture was an astrological fragrance company. It was quite an interesting experience. We had a lot of fun building a product around astrology and perfume. And we had this, it was a really cool product. It was very well received in the market. And we developed and spent a fortune. I mean, $150,000 building a cutting edge at the time flash website. So if you can imagine, you probably weren't even born the time that most of your audience probably wasn't born when flash was cutting edge. So we had quite a sophisticated build at that time, and it was a fortune. And, you know, it's like buying your first cell phone for, you know, well, $2,000, or your first computer for $10,000. And, you know, these days you can get a computer for a couple hundred dollars and you can get a free cell phone. So, you know, at that time it was $150,000. That's what we started raising money on. But it was also product development and lots of things. So it was a great experience, and I learned a lot from that.
Awesome. What was one of the big things that you learned throughout that?
Well, you know, I poured all of my energy, effort, and resources, as did me and my partner. We had a couple of partners engaged, and we were out in fundraising mode. And I'll never forget some of the first disappointments of my entrepreneurial career right out of the gate, you know, thinking that we were headed down a path for some funding that right up to the 11th hour, and then having that not come through and having to scramble to keep the doors open, you know. And that's an entrepreneur's journey that just doesn't seem to be avoidable, you know. So it taught me early on to stay very aware of cash flow needs and financing sources, and to never lose your, you know, take your eye off that ball, because we all end up getting into cash flow crunches. Very few entrepreneurs and, you know, small businesses don't have that issue. So that was my first learning experience, to go from being a salaried, you know, well-paid corporate attorney in the entertainment industry to having to raise money as an entrepreneur and not sure we can keep the doors open if we don't really hustle.
That's fascinating. It's definitely a very different world going from having a reliable, like just a reliable income that gets dropped into your account on a monthly basis, to moving over to where you only eat what you kill. It's a completely different
ball game. Well said, Trey. Well said. And you know, one of the things that happens for people is they end up getting, you know, occupied by profits and revenue and, you know, all these fancy ideas, but they don't realize that, you know, just keeping the doors open, having cash, being able to, you know, take some, you can't take your profits down to 7-Eleven, right? You need to have cash. And so that's the kind of thing that I'm an expert at, is helping people manage their cash and be able to make the most of the cash in their business. And, you know, find cash when they need it so they can do things.
Definitely.
Because that's the thing that gets in the way of everything is not having enough money. How many small businesses do you know or talk to or are trying to help where you actually, you know, they're always in a cash crunch. We can't afford the resources we need. We can't do this. We can't do, can't grow because we don't have cash, right?
Absolutely. Cash flow is king. If you can't afford what you need, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Exactly.
So when you reached out to me, you shared that you had recently been caught in two Category 5 hurricanes within a couple of weeks. What are some of the things that you learned from those experiences?
Well, I can tell you it was the most traumatic experience of my life and, you know, life-changing, really. But the truth is I've been weathering storms my whole life, you know, and a lot of us have. I describe it as Category 5 situations, right? The kind of things that were totally out of our control. And, you know, I'm a licensed boat captain, a lawyer, a business advisor, a C-suite executive, you know, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I have pretty, you know, broad shoulders and thick skin. And I didn't think there was really anything that I couldn't handle until I went home alone that night after helping friends and watching the last weather reports and the most powerful storm to hit the Atlantic Basin barreled through my island nation where I was living and, you know, cut a path straight across over my head, tore the roof off my house and left me buried alive for almost 24 hours and having to survive on the island for almost 2 months without electricity, running water, cooking gas, you know, the kinds of things we telecoms, you know, that we get used to and think that if you have a problem, there isn't anything the internet can't help you solve. But what happens if you don't have access to the internet? You know, if you need help, you need people around you, you can't do this alone. And what happens if you can't reach your social media connections? That's the kind of thing that I've learned to cope with and have now become part of my messaging and my next book that is the subject of resilience and leadership and the 7 barometers of resilience that I developed after this experience that helped me understand what it was that, you know, got me through that experience and into thriving and every other experience like that.
That's beautiful. So what were you focused on when you were in that moment? Like what actually got you through that?
You know, that's a really good question because I do write about it in my book and I had to give my, you know, at the time and for quite some time afterwards, I really have no idea how I got through any day after, you know, during the storm and after, but I did a lot of soul searching and I realized there was a moment when I knew that I wasn't going to be able to get myself out of my situation and I had no idea how I was going to get out of my situation or when or what might happen to me. And I could feel the physical panic rise. And I don't doubt there's everybody in your audience has had some moment in their lives where something traumatic has happened or, you know, out of their control and they start to feel that panic. And so what's the thing to do? You know, what do you do if you have nothing? You don't have your phone, you don't have the internet, you don't have electricity, no telecoms, no intel from outside world. Two things you can pick up, and that's a pen and a piece of paper. Or a pencil, of course. But, you know, we have the ability to write. And so I stopped and I said to myself, you know, it's dark. It's the storm is raging. I'm terrified. This is the most, you know, I could feel the panic. And so I started making lists and writing down everything that I learned, all the mistakes I'd made, the things I'd done right, so that I would embed the memory through this experience of what I needed to do better next time, because there's always going to be another storm.
Wow. So you kind of turned a horrifying situation into the most positive thing you could and like just made it so you could move forward from it.
Yeah, you know, and it's actually there's science around it, right? I mean, especially the writing and the engagement of the prefrontal cortex of the brain, right? The amygdala is the emotional center, right, where we panic and freak out and, you know, we go crazy. And it's the prefrontal cortex that is the problem-solving portion of our brain. And by engaging that section and saying, okay, I'm going to start writing down stuff, right? I'm going to take action. I'm going to do something that puts me into thinking mode, not panic mode, not reacting mode. And then I'm going to get a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and start writing stuff. And that communicates between the brain and the writing, you know, things that become embedded. It's why we write down our goals, right? When you hear about SMART goals, and you know, I don't know too many people who are religious about writing them, but I do know how powerful the writing our goals down can be. And we're not talking typing, right, or thumbing it. It's about actually physically writing. And there's studies about how powerful that is and how much of a difference it makes. And I'm here to, you know, prove that.
Absolutely. And I know that that is one thing that changed drastically in the way I operate, is that over the last 6 months or so, I had actually started documenting my goals, writing everything down, what I was trying to accomplish. And it was actually easier to do those things once I got them down in paper. Once it's on paper, it's that's the first step of making it a reality.
Isn't that amazing? I know, because you're telling your brain and your subconscious, right? We're only consciously activated like 10% of our brain at best. And so you're telling the other 90%, get busy. These are the things we're doing, right? And so, yeah, it's powerful. And I've never seen anything that I commit to that way and that intentionally and that committed. It comes through faster and more efficiently than I could have imagined, even in my goal setting. Which is probably what you've discovered, right?
Yeah, that's the way it works. I know everybody I know who is actually has achieved the level of success that I want to achieve. That's one of the biggest things that they preach to me, is write your goals down. Write your goals down. If you're not writing it down, it's in no way a reality. It's only in your head still.
Right? A goal without a plan is just a wish, right? And being able to start by writing them so you know what plans you have to make is important. You know, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will get you there.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you learned something. If you have questions, email us at info@thelocalcrown.com. And if you want to get featured in our publication, Inside the Empire, alongside John Lee Dumas, the Entrepreneur on Fire, Jason Waller, the CEO of Power Home Solar, Sharon Lecter, Dan Caldwell, the man that started Tap Out, and the limitless man himself, Jim Quick, for free, then head over to thelocalcrown.com/become a contributor.